Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
No Joe. Out of Joe.
Oh, finished your coffee.
Finished my Joe. My cup of mud's run. You and I work from home. We have been for, holy shit, 4 months now together.
Yes.
And I feel like there's not a lot of sort of workplace shenanigans that happen between us. You know what I mean? Like, most of our water cooler moments are like based around acquiring new sort of slimy toys for our son, like things that aren't necessarily like fun office-y things. Like, you've never talked to me about printer paper or how much you don't like
I haven't. Well, we are lucky to have a pretty good printer.
Our printer kicks ass.
As those devoted to the episode know,
we have invested
in a quality brother printer.
My third brother. Yeah, but I feel like you and me could complain about the boss a little bit more. So let's give that. Can we try that?
Okay.
Boss has really been riding my butt cheeks this week, honey. And I don't know how it's been for you, but the boss has really been on my butt cheeks and crack.
So I got number one boss mug for boss, and I am on good side now.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You're such a teacher's pet, but for the boss. I guess the boss's pet.
Speaking of the boss.
Yeah.
It's Max Fun Drive.
Okay.
Gotta pay respect to our boss,
the Max Fun Drive.
The Max Fun Drive.
Yeah, we have had a really remarkable turnout so far, and we cannot thank you all enough. We are part of the Maximum Fun Network, which is a pledge-supported network of shows that try to make good entertainment that makes you happy and good to feel when you hear it. And that's what it says on, that's our mission statement
on the
site.
Tin.
If you are interested in supporting us, we know it is a strange time to be asking for money like this. But if you are in a place where you can do that and you want to, you know, help us grow the show and support the network, you can go to MaximumFun.org/join and check out all the cool pledge levels and the gifts and stuff that you can get. We'll talk a little bit more about that later in the episode, though.
Hey, Griffin, do you have any small wonders? See, I jumped in.
And you
so
know what's
you
fucked
have
up?
To go first.
You know what's messed up? I don't, really. I didn't have one ready. Because if I'm telling the truth, I use the time you use to like stall and think of things. I also am stalling to think of things.
Wow. We are really opening new channels of communication in our relationship.
I used a soldering iron for the first time yesterday. Mm. And it's a thing I've been kind of scared of. One, because it's a remarkably hot piece of metal. And so, like, there's a fear there. But I was building a Game Boy Advance SP, and I was so afraid I was going to just, like, destroy it. But it was not that hard, and it felt very satisfying to do, like, electrical work. Like, it felt very satisfying to connect two electrical components. It was thrilling. And now I just want to solder everything. I want to solder my phone to the TV and see what happens. Probably nothing. Or, I mean, something will happen. I'll destroy both. But soldering, it's like knitting, but with metal. Do you have a small wonder?
I do. I'm going to say the friendly dog that we saw over the weekend.
My Lord, yes.
We were out with Henry, and Henry loves dogs, but he's a little afraid of him. Or dogs, I guess, not just him.
No, yeah, all dogs.
And this dog came over to us and just stood there patiently waiting for me to pet it and stood there long enough that Henry got a real good look. And I was just grateful for that friendly old dog.
Yeah, I mean, since we have been quarantining, we've only just kind of started going out to park early in the morning when there's hardly anybody there. So like Henry's exposure to other people and especially like pets is nothing, like there is no exposure, and so like this was a nice little moment and like a little flashback to when we would go to this park every weekend and Henry would just give live commentary on every dog that he saw. Yeah, it was nice. You go first this week. What's your first thing?
My first thing is Round Rock's Hairy Man.
Round Rock's Hairy Man.
Yes.
Harry, Hairy.
Yes.
And this is a hirsute gentleman who lives in the township of Round Rock, some miles north of us.
Yes.
Okay. And he is special to you in some way.
Yes. So I didn't really think we had a lot of cryptids in our area.
Okay. I thought it was either going to be a cryptid or a mascot of some sort, like Towel Man.
It's both, turns out.
Whoa! Okay, tell me everything.
So the Round Rock Express is a team that we would occasionally go see. It's a minor league baseball team.
Round Rock is right up north from Austin, like what, 20 minutes north of us?
It's Austin close. Doesn't have any sports teams. No. And so we would go to baseball games occasionally back in the day. And so I liked them on Facebook so I could stay on top of all of their activities.
Yes.
Currently, the Round Rock Express has granted a temporary expansion team in the Texas Collegiate League to use their stadium.
Are they still playing baseball? How is that like? How does that work?
So this is a team of collegiate players that compete from June to August. It's like a summer league, and it's, you know, it's not an official minor league team. It's more like college players who are in, you know, their school's off season.
Yeah, I'm mostly thinking about the logistics of playing baseball in a pandemic. I guess, I mean, anything's a risk, right? But like, I guess it is one of the least contact sports.
All the sports are coming back, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Hockey's next month.
Yeah,
this
that's true.
This is something that everybody's trying to figure out. And so what has taken the place of the Round Rock Express is the Round Rock Harrymen.
Harry Men?
Yes.
Okay.
And I saw this on my Facebook feed, and I thought that is an unusual name for a team.
I didn't know that you could have an adjective in, do you know what I mean? It's not like the Chicago Cool Bulls. Your 1996 Chicago Cool Bulls.
Yeah, and I think that just kind of adds, it couldn't just be Round Rock's Men.
No.
You know, you can't get excited. Can't get excited about that team.
Oh man, what would that like mascot kind of like look like?
just like
a stick figure, and that's it. Like that's literally.
I was just picturing like a guy in like jeans and a t-shirt coming out and just being like, "Hey,
hey, everyone,
thanks for coming.
I'm Matt, but you can just call me Man." And I'm going to eat a hot dog. If you guys want to watch me eat a hot dog, if that gets you in the mood to watch some baseball, let's go Men. That feels weird to cheer that out loud.
A little exclusionary.
It's about time someone's been cheering for Men.
So I, of course, had to do a little research because I figured there's a story here, and there is. But it is maybe the weakest story I have heard for a cryptid character.
Okay.
There are various versions of the legend, but the story that is consistent is that a young boy in pioneer days fell off a wagon and then lived on his own in the woods and then grew into a man that became kind of reclusive and hairy and wandered through the woods.
Okay.
So it's kind of like Round Rock's Bigfoot, but they were like, hey, Bigfoot is crazy, right? No one's going to believe Bigfoot. This is like just a guy.
This is an abandoned boy who grew a lot of hair all over. Did he have powers? I mean, is there lore around the sightings?
The idea is that he would just chase away strangers or hide in trees to scare people.
Okay. It's a lost child. They should call themselves the Round Rock Lost Children.
So this is... This is what is kind of interesting, too, is that they have a story where the hairy man.
I can't with that name, though.
Especially if he like got groomed and then it was like the Round Rock clean shaven man.
Uh-huh.
So the story is that the hairy man fell in front of a stagecoach and was trampled and now haunts the road.
It's almost like they knew the first part was bullshit and not a good story, and so then they had to add ghosts to it.
Right, like people stopped seeing this guy, but they wanted to keep the legend alive, so they're like, oh, well, you know what? He died. But he haunts this area.
Anyone who sees a ghost and says, wow, look at the beard on that ghost, has had so many ghost encounters that like the spectral vision in front of them doesn't bother them. It is the way that they wear their hair and their facial hair. It's astounding to me.
So Round Rock has paid tribute to this this hairy man in several ways. I mentioned the baseball team. There's also a Hairy Man Road and a Hairy Man Festival.
Hairy Man Festival. Boy, howdy. I hope they don't hold that during the summertime.
No, it is in October. Okay. They tie it in with Halloween.
Right.
It's got your traditional crafts, food, music, kids activities. It also has a Hairy Man contest.
Of course.
And I found an old article just to figure out what this contest was all about. I found the winner of the 2014 Hairy Man contest who took home $500.
Hey, okay. Can you describe what they look like? I imagine...
I don't have the picture in front of me.
Oh, okay.
I mean, one can picture Harry.
Yeah, no, I would say. Yeah, sure.
There is also a 5K run every year.
Interesting.
I enjoy this a lot. I kept searching for more richer lore, maybe some grainy photos. That does not exist that I can find. This just seems to be a furry guy that was in the woods.
I feel like most cryptids don't have... like really, I don't think the booger cat ever had like his day in the sun. I love that. The Hairy Man.
The Hairy Man. It's so accessible, right?
Yeah. It sounds like a Mabimbam character. It sounds like a skit, the Hairy Man does.
You should check out, though, this baseball team. They do have a mascot, and it is adorable.
Oh, boy.
It's just a man with a very large mustache and beard.
Oh, I love it.
And it's cute.
Like a stuffed man, like,
well, it's just a cartoon,
right?
On the logo. I haven't seen the actual suited
person?
Gentleman.
Okay, yeah. I hope it's like a suit, like a Mr. Baseball head,
yeah.
And not just like some again, just a dude going out there, and he has some facial hair.
Yeah,
that's not inspiring to me. You know what? It is inspiring to me. My first thing, which is fencing. Fencing is my first thing. I'm mostly bringing this because, like, I've been thinking a lot about how, if not for the global pandemic, I think the Olympics would be happening right now.
Yeah.
That bums me out. So, I mean, obviously, it is not the biggest casualty of this terrible thing that has happened to the planet, but it bums me out because, man, I love the Summer Olympics.
I have always been surprised at how much you know about fencing. I feel like you know more than the average individual.
So I had a fencing, I flirted with fencing in college. I was looking for...
In college?
In college, yeah. The order of operations went thusly. Me and Travis and our friend Justin, not our brother Justin, bought some fencing foils at like a garage sale, which is maybe by far the best like garage sale pickup I've ever had in my entire life. And we would just sort of fuck around with them in the front yard. And that was a lot of fun. Didn't have masks or any kind of protective equipment. So we weren't doing especially well at following the rules of fencing, which there are a lot of. And then I was working for the radio station, the college radio station, for the news program, and had to put together a package. And so there was a fencing team at Marshall that I did a radio package on, where I interviewed them and I sat in on a couple lessons and never got the gumption up to like say, hand me that blade. I also learned that the fencing team and the Society of Creative Anachronism, which is the LARPing group in Huntington,
a lot of overlap.
That Venn diagram is just one big circle. And I learned quite a bit about fencing, but never really took part in it. I bet it is a workout. Like, watching these people like fence in the gymnasium at Marshall University seemed like they were getting their exercise.
It's that muscle
in.
Confusion, right? Like, ooh, am I going this way? Am I going this way? You have to respond so quickly.
So it's been a part of the Summer Olympics as we know it since like the Summer Olympics became a like codified thing, along with four other activities, which is athletics, cycling, swimming, and gymnastics, and. It is actually, when you say fencing, you're talking about a collection of three different combat sports based on the weapon that you use. So a fencing foil is the standard, like, weapon, and it is, I think, probably the most common type of fencing that you see. A foil is very light. It's, like, under a pound for the whole blade, and it's just a very lightweight, very flexible rectangular blade with a point on it, and you have to push that point, that tip, into your opponent, specifically where they have this wire mesh jacket that they wear, mostly for protection, but also because it like forms an electrical circuit, which like helps you keep score. I didn't know this. You have to have the tip pushed into them for at least 15 milliseconds. That's like a rule. I don't know what the, I guess in case you do like a, like just barely glancing blow off their side. But basically you have to hit them in this jacket, which covers your torso and your groin. So that's just funny.
Oh, so like the groin shots could
groin
be
shots count, baby.
Yeah,
groin shots count. Do you know any other the other two? Either of them?
I've heard you say epée.
Epée is the other one. Epée is the heaviest of the blades. It's a triangular blade, not nearly as flexible, and mainly just like the rules are different for epée fighting. You have you can score anywhere. Anywhere you can get your opponent, it counts as a point. But you do have to still thrust into them. And then the final one is a saber. A saber
is,
I mean, it's essentially, it looks like the same exact type of blade, but you can score with a, you know, a swipe. You can score with the front side or back side of the blade as well as the tip. And with sabers, what's exciting about saber is there's, again, a specific area that you're allowed to target. I think it's the same, like, jacket around the groin area. But if you hit an illegal area, the play doesn't stop. So you just keep going. So saber is, like, wet and wild.
You think there's fencers out there that specialize in the groin?
Yeah, probably. I mean, there's fencers out there who specialize. Every fencer who like takes it, like goes hard in it, really specializes in one weapon. So I would say probably foil fencers are like all about that groin.
It's like their signature move, you know, like Mortal Kombat. That's like the thing they do.
Yes.
Like that's how you know that you fought Jeff, is he got you in the groin.
Yes. So fencing is like way more complicated than it looks. And it already looks kind of complicated. There are rules about like right of way and posture and footwork that you have to follow. And so the differences between those three sports are mostly in like how those rules differ. For epée, there is no such thing as right of way. And so fights can be a lot more dynamic. There's like counterattacking is like a huge thing in epée because of the changes in the rules. And fencing terminology is so shit hot, is so amazing. It has like its roots in like the two main like disciplines of fencing were Italian and French. And so like a lot of the terminology is Italian and French, but you get words like riposte, feint, a balestra, which is a type of footwork, like movement. That's very, it's basically like a lunge more or less forward, a corps à corps. Have you ever seen that? I've seen that word before, C-O-R-P-S, but it's got like the accents on it. Corps à corps is basically means body to body, which is illegal. Like you're not allowed to, you know, bum rush the your opponent.
Like chest bump, like full
shoulder charge. Yeah. Redoublement. Like there's so many fucking great words in fencing. And obviously like fencing originated actually from sword fighting. It was sort of a military training thing. The person who is often credited for changing that is a guy named Domenico Angelo, who opened this fencing academy in London called Angelo's School of Arms. And that's fucking rules. It's such a good name. And Angelo's family like ran this school for three generations. And Angelo wrote a lot about fencing in a way that changed it dramatically in the way people thought about it and really codified it into this specific thing. The biggest thing that he did is sort of like reframed it from being a military thing, like a fighting thing, to a thing for health and for sport. And like sort of the rules about posture and footwork, but like he codified those in his writing. So he like really transformed it in this huge, huge way. And some of the things have obviously changed over time, but like there's a lot of core DNA to fencing that still is sourced back to this guy's writing, which I think is really, really cool. But yeah, I think I would still enjoy fencing, maybe. It looks so hard. It looks so extremely hard.
Yeah, if you want to learn a lot about fencing, if you watch the special features on Princess Bride, you can learn a lot, because Mandy Patinkin like intentionally learned a lot about fencing so that he could do those sword scenes himself.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of detail on those special features on like all the technique that was involved.
That's so
in that.
Interesting. Yeah. I do want to watch that very badly. You have to wear a mask. Would it be, I don't know if the mask prevents pathogens from entering your system.
Oh,
or
you're
not.
Saying this is like the go-to pandemic sport?
It could be, right? I don't know. Anyway, hey, before I steal you away, can we tell our friends at home a little bit more about the Max Fun Drive?
Yes. Yeah, you want me to talk about levels?
Yeah, tell me about them levels that you can give at MaximumFun.org/join.
Okay, so for just $5 a month, that gets you all the bonus content. And when we say all the bonus content, we mean all from the history of time of Max Fun Drive's bonus content.
There's so much. Just from us, this year we recorded Rachel's first steps into Animal Crossing on the 3DS, because we recorded it before the Switch version came out. We have
our Will Smith episode.
Our best work of Will Smith. We have Back from the Rose Buddies days. We did an interview with Jasmine Lorimer from The Bachelorette. Yeah, we have, and that's just our show. There's a ton of stuff on there.
Mm-hmm. I personally, if I were to recommend one piece of bonus content, I would recommend the My Brother and Me prank show.
Oh, yeah, gosh.
Among my favorites.
Wow, yeah, that was good. It really drove a lot of wedges between a lot of friendships that we have, both professionally and personally.
So as long as you're a member at the $5 a month level, you get access to that and all the show's bonus content. And then at $10... you get some cool stuff. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, you can get a pin that is specific to each show, designed by Megan.
And you pick.
It's designed by Megan Lickott, who has done pins for us in the past, and they're so cool. They look really nice. You also get all the bonus content and a Max Fun membership card. And at $20 a month or more, there's a game pack that you can get that has special Max Fun playing cards and dice and everything you need to have a fun game night in. There's other levels too, but most folks give at that $5 to $10 range, and like there is no way of really telling you all how much the support you have shown us over, in my case, the past 10 years of doing the Max Fun Drive to us.
This is the McElroy household primary source of income.
True.
You know, y'all know that I am a community college grant writer, but as you can imagine, that is not what is keeping our house afloat. So we are very grateful for your support, this drive and any other drive that you may have participated in.
So those are the pledge levels. You can see them all at MaximumFun.org/join. If you're already a supporting member, thank you so much. We've heard from people who maybe they give it $10 a month, but they don't really want to jump up to $20 a month and double it. Now you can boost your membership. And, you know, if you've been listening to our shows a little bit more, you can kick up how much you're giving on a monthly basis without having to leap all the way up to that next pledge level. You can also gift a donation to a friend or family member who, you know, maybe doesn't have the means to support the network, but really wants to. There's so many options to do what's right for you. And if what's right for you is not giving because you aren't able to right now, that's also fantastic. We totally, totally get it.
But if you can't, go to MaximumFun.org/join to join up.
Yep. To join up.
To join up.
To the wonderful, hashtag wonderful army. That doesn't feel good.
No.
Wonderful Navy? What would we, I imagine we would be more of a sea-based.
Wonderful Utopia.
Yeah, that's better. Hey, can I steal you away?
Yes.
10987654321. Blast off into wealth and financial security and responsibility with Rocket Money.
Oh, that's the countdown.
The countdown is for the rocket. Uh-huh. They have to do that because if not, people stand under the rocket of Rocket Money. They get all burnt up dead.
Yeah.
So powerful is the force of this fuel as it's oxidized and ejected. But for you, some people get burnt up by the rocket, but you're going to save a buttload of money on things like subscriptions you don't need anymore that maybe you didn't know you had anymore that Rocket Money can not only identify for you, but also help you get them canceled.
I also get these little notifications that are like, hey, did you know that you spent this much money on this very particular online store? And I'm like, whoa, I am spending too much money in that online store. I would not have noticed it otherwise.
Rachel's candle habit was putting us out of house and home.
Do you know you're spending $750 a month on candles?
Well, not no more, because Rocket Money showed you the error of your ways. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. That is wild. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Hey, I have a Grandpatron here. Can I read it?
Oh, I like that. Are you going to do it in a grandpa voice?
No, but this message is for Jerry, and it's from Cassie, who says, Jerry, you've accomplished so much, I don't even know where to begin. You got a master's, a new apartment, and a new job, all while quarantined. You do so much to make me happy every day, and there's no one else I would rather adventure with. I hope future you is happy to hear a message from your favorite podcasters. I love you so very much.
That is somebody on their grind.
And this, who knows? I imagine this message was written a while ago. Who the fuck knows what else Jerry has accomplished?
Oh, Jerry. I bet Jerry's baking bread. You think Jerry's baking bread?
I think Jerry went to fucking Mars and found the cure up there. That's what Jerry's up to.
That's beautiful. Can I read the next one?
Uh-huh.
This one is for Brunch Squad. It is from Dwight. My dearest Brunch Squad, I am so glad that we all randomly decided to get brunch together last year after seeing the McElroys live and then decided to be best friends after that. You all make my life so much better and I love all of you so, so much. Stay powerful, stay unstoppable.
So good.
You heard of this Brunch Squad?
I have heard of this Brunch Squad.
Yeah, they are a very active community of wonderful folks who I see a lot in our Facebook group. Just talking about things they do together to support each other. It's beautiful.
But only brunch. That's their rule. Mm-hmm. They only can do brunch together.
And they can only talk about brunch things.
Every member of Brunch Squad at this point is like 50% mimosa. Will you please tell me your second thing? Come on.
Okay, this is going to surprise you.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to have to do some couching.
Oh, good.
My second thing is muscles.
All right. Okay. Hey, babe, I get it. Do we have to do this here?
I'm not talking about like a bodybuilder.
Okay.
I'm just talking about how great muscles are and all the things that they do for you in your day.
The meat on our bones that moves us around. That moves around, I guess, our skeletons? That's the stuff you're talking about. You're crazy about.
Yeah, although there are a lot of different kinds of muscles that I learned about while doing this research.
Can I see how many I can remember?
Okay.
There's like there's one that starts with striated.
Striated muscle.
Striated mm-hmm. muscle. There's, I think your heart muscle is like its own special type of muscle, right?
Cardiac muscles.
Cardiac muscles. And then smooth muscle.
Yes. Wow, babe. Where are you pulling that from?
High school anatomy class.
Oh my gosh.
Is that it? Those are the only three. Yeah.
Cheers to Huntington High School.
Yeah. Did a great job. Coach Willie Wilson. He taught anatomy as well as coached the volleyball team.
Smooth muscles are, they do the stomach, the intestines, anything that is hollow that moves stuff around in your body has a smooth muscle associated with it. And then skeletal muscles are the ones that move your parts, you know, up and down, round and round.
Yeah.
Skeletal muscles cover bones. They give bodies their shape. For every skeletal muscle on one side, there is an identical one on the other side. There are 320 pairs of identical bilateral muscles.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So when my huge biceps get bigger, it's like move over other muscles. I'm in charge now.
This kind of brings in tendons too.
Ugh. We gotta talk about tendons.
Muscles are attached through tendons, and when muscles contract and generate force, the tendon pulls, and that helps stimulate your bone growth. So for people that might be at risk for osteoporosis, they recommend muscle work to kind of keep that bone strong.
Interesting.
Nearly 85% of the heat produced by your body is due to muscle contraction.
That makes a lot of sense. I don't know what else. My bones certainly aren't making heat, I don't think.
Yeah, where's that heat coming from? Turns out it's your muscles.
Okay. Where's the other 15% coming from? Is it my bones?
Nobody knows.
Do I have hot bones?
I mean, I would say so.
Oh, hey now. Hey now.
I have been doing, since quarantine started, I have been doing a little bit of strength training.
Okay.
And I find it really rewarding. Here's something that like made me feel extra good about it. There was a study published in October 2017 that said just 30 minutes twice a week was shown to improve performance and bone density and structure.
Of strength training? Yeah. What does that mean? Does that mean just like lifting weights or doing like...
Yeah.
Okay.
They said high intensity resistance and impact training.
Is that what anaerobic exercise is? I still don't know.
I think you're right. Yeah, because aerobic is like cardio.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn.
You are a doctor. Turns out, nobody knew. At around age 30, we start losing as much as 3 to 5% of lean muscle mass per year thanks to aging.
Some of us probably even more than that.
There's a lot of other benefits to, you know, muscles through the oxygenation of blood and exercise. It improves your circulation.
Yeah.
Just generally. Also with posture, if you have good core muscles, it can improve your posture.
I don't.
And also one thing I should say too is that in order to really build muscle tissue, you have to take some breaks in there. It's that time in between strength training that your muscles are really like building up. It's not necessarily happening while you're pumping iron. It's that time in between where they have a chance to kind of rebuild and reform.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. They have to like overcompensate like during the chill down period.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a weird thing for me to say as a person that is not a, you know, a fitness guru.
But you have this very helpful meat inside you, like all over.
Yeah. And I just, you know, as I get older, you know, I feel like it's important to really put some good scaffolding in there. Mm-hmm. Help keep me afloat. Uh-huh.
I love you so much.
Thank you, honey. And I'm going to go drink a protein shake.
Okay.
And beat up some nerds.
So the usual stuff.
Yeah.
Can I tell you about my second thing?
Yes.
Really excited. My second thing is an album from 2003, which is fucking wild. Technically, it's two albums. It's a double album called Speaker Box, The Love Below by Outkast.
Changed my life a little bit, I would say.
I said that I was like blown away that it came out in 2003. I think mostly because like looking back 17 years is like very long time ago. But also like there was a solid year of high school where like this is all I listened to. They have a combined runtime of I think like over 2 hours. It is a very, very ambitious project from Outkast, who is of course Big Boy and Andre 3000, each of which sort of put together a solo album for this duo set. Big Boy did Speaker Box,
perhaps suggesting that they were not a pair long lasting in this world.
Well, I mean, they did release Idlewild after this, both the album and the film, and then yes, they went on more or less.
I love the idea
hiatus,
though, of bands putting out these box sets where each band member is like, I'm gonna do my own thing.
there was a lot of kind of press around this album because it was the fifth studio album from Outkast, fifth of only six, and they were recording in separate studios. Andre 3000 had like sort of gone on break to pursue other things, both like musical. He was making his own music at his house with like lo-fi equipment and experimenting with different sounds and different genres, but he was also like trying to take a run at like an acting career, which didn't really go anywhere, and so he focused back on the music. And the whole time he was doing that, Big Boy was working on Speaker Box. Essentially, between them, they had recorded like over 100 songs that were going to go on these albums, which, you know, not all of them made the cut. But yeah, Andre 3000 did The Love Below, which I think reflects like a lot of the strangeness, the kind of like spaciness, the experimental stuff that he was working on at the time, while Speaker Box is just a more sort of straightforward, and not in a bad way, just fucking great bop.
Yeah,
of an album.
I mean, and I've mentioned this before, I started college in 2004, and literally every college party I went to was playing Speaker Box.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like at the time there was a lot of, it's not like I was plugged into like the Outkast fan forums, but there was like a lot of chatter about these albums before they came out, partially because Andre 3000 was like making a name for himself. He was becoming more of a household name, I think, more than Big Boy. And so there was a lot of conversation about this album and are they breaking up and what's the drama between them? And I feel like a lot of people slept on Speakerbox, which was, in my opinion, and also sort of critical consensus, like the standout part of the set. Big Boy did an interview where he talked about the direction for the album, which I think is so beautiful and clean and strong. He said the idea was just to keep it funky, keep it jamming. It's always bass heavy and lyricism. It's all about lyrics, taking pride in your pen and your pad. Yep.
love that.
There's just so many. I remember back in high school when it came out, it was like the new Beatles or Elvis, like which album do you like the best? And I was always a Speakerbox man because the number of just absolute slaps on this album is unimaginable. You get The Way You Move, which is so good. Probably the standout single from Speakerbox, but there was also Church, which is really good.
Oh, that's
the song I'm going to play is the one I like fell in love with the first time I heard it, and I still think absolutely rips ass. I want to play The Rooster.
Okay, I started out alone because my baby mama left me. Now there's nobody at home. Beginning to feel like Mrs. Jackson done got thrown. With it some real shit and I'm living it through this song. I'm moving vehicles with my family as I slept out on the sofa in the boom boom boom. I woke up very upset. I throw the covers back and peep out through the draperies. My daughter, my baby mama all escaping me. Like
it's a song about just like family turmoil and it goes so fucking hard. And the brass loop behind the entire thing is so, so good.
I'm glad you picked this one. I'd forgotten about that song.
I can't forget. Like this was the one I was sitting in my friend's car. We were driving to school and this song came on and I remember sitting in the parking lot because I wanted to listen to it again.
Yeah.
It was so fresh and so like clever and playful and pun filled, but also like Big Boy just like fucking tears it up. Like it is a perfect song. And The Love Below is like a lot more. I mean, there are a couple like standout tracks. Obviously, Hey Ya came from The Love Below, which is the most listened to song of all time. So I'm not going to play it here on the show.
A lot of slow jams on that album.
There's a lot of slow jams, but there's a lot of sort of experimental singing and guitar focused funk and like Prince inspired like riffs and just all kinds. There's a lot of stuff. There's also a whole narrative component to The Love Below. It is ambitious in a way that doesn't always succeed, but when it does succeed, it's so good. I think Hey Ya is a fucking fantastic song, and I think it got, you know, played out a lot. But I still, these days when I hear Hey Ya, I sort of look back on it fondly. But there's another song on the album that I really like. It's not like the rest of the album. It feels more like a classic Outkast song, but it's got like really good Andre 3000 on it. And of course, like everything else on this album, it is profoundly horny. I want to play a little bit of Spread.
Griffin, I had no idea.
I got an eye out for shit that cries out passionately. We'll do things backwardly, forwardly, horizontally. I'm too young to be settling down. Quick to change my mind tomorrow. So now can I borrow your timid torso? More so than your soul. And it's me, gotta be how I roll. Fuck the rhythm, tuck the rhythm under your bosom. You're the prism. Shirley Chisholm, what's the first? Let's rehearse. Making a baby, putting your aura. I want a baby daughter. Dance on the tip of my tongue. Shake the clouds and truth. There's no more wetness in them. Tell your homegirls that you will send them a postcard from 3000 hard.
So yeah, that's the sort of difference between these two. And they, to their credit, Andre 3000 and Big Boy always played down the like drama of this album and its creation and their sort of slow, inevitable like breakup. They were just like, yeah, we like working solo. Like it's an environment that we both really like working in, but we like enjoy each other and collaborate and listen to each other's stuff and work on it. So like this double album is, I think, weird to call it an Outkast album because it's an Andre 3000 album and also a Big Boy album, but it's I don't know, man. You said it defined your experience the year.
Yeah,
it came out.
For sure. I mean, I, like a lot of people, probably first became exposed to Outkast through this album and then went through the back catalog and was like, oh, how have I not heard of this incredible group until now?
Yeah, I definitely got in on Stankonia, which was the album before this one, which is so fucking
that
good.
Really
it came
good.
Out in 2000. And so like I was looking forward to this album. It's like I didn't look forward to a lot of albums. I didn't like know about music in that way, the way I did about like video games and movies. But this album was one where I was like on Tinder hooks waiting to get my hands on it. It's so good. Hey, can I tell you what our friends at home are talking about?
Yes.
Patty says, Forged in Fire is wonderful. It's a knife-making competition show. I have no interest in blacksmithing, but I get very invested in these knife makers. I pick my champion at the start based on facial hair or accents or overalls and root them on throughout the episode.
This sounds like maybe a new heat for us.
It sounds like a very hot heat for us. And Patty did not include the platform, but I bet I can Google that up and find it. Thanks for the hot tip. Parker says, something that always brightens my day is passing people in their cars that are singing loudly to themselves. There's something so pure and unfiltered about it, and it always makes me smile and wonder what song they are jamming out to.
I do love that. I do. That is one thing I miss about just like not driving a lot these days, is just pumping that music and singing along.
Yeah, this was never like a huge thing for me, but then when I started driving Henry to daycare and picking him up from daycare every single day, and he got into rock music, he really, really liked hearing me like wail along with Led Zeppelin and AC/DC and everything. Hey, thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. And of course, thank you to Maximum Fun. One last time, MaximumFun.org/join. Go look at the levels. Oh.
I should mention on Friday,
yeah,
they are doing a dinner party event.
Oh, yeah.
That will feature a lot of Max Fun hosts, just kind of talking about various cocktails and foods. And there will be a video from me making my famous chili.
Her famous ground beef turkey beef. Ground turkey chili.
So if you want to check that out, I believe the proceeds from the event are benefiting Meals on Wheels. And you can find that on the MaximumFun.org website.
Yep. And also on that website is MaximumFun.org/join. And please look at what you can get for the different pledge levels and think about helping us out. I think that's it. So let's go right now. Let's go. Let's go.
I forgot how many claps.
Oh, no.
How many is it?
Oh, no.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.